We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the February the 8th, 2021 meeting of the University City Council to order at 6:31 p.m. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay?
Present.
Councilmember Klein?
Here.
Councilmember McMahon?
Here.
Councilmember Hales?
Here.
Councilmember Cusick?
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Here.
Mayor Crow?
Here. Thank you very much, Ms. Reese. As and to all the citizens, by the way, thank you very much for joining us this evening. This is one of those times we're probably all glad to be having a Zoom meeting based on the weather that is outside. In honor of Black History Month, and more importantly, in honor of the talents that we just simply have before us, the City Council and I have extended an invitation to Nashawn Bates, who is in the Brittany Middle School eighth grade, who wrote a poem, Young Black Boy. He is joined tonight by his mother, Nicole, and we have asked Nashawn to read his poem for us as we begin our City Council meeting. So, Nashawn, you may want to take yourself off of mute, and we will be ready for you to begin at any point in time. We want to make sure that we just first express to you, thank you so much and your mother for joining us tonight. And thank you for the remarks that you provided to our community back in December. They were beautifully written and incredibly meaningful to our community at an important time in our city's history. Thank you.
Hey. Young Black boy, where does your heart lie? What kind of world were you created in? When you were born, young Black boy, the world stops, the stars align. You are looked at with smiles and laughter. As you grow older, you are played with by strangers, even police in the streets. As you grow older, taller, stronger, you are looked at like a threat, like your color becomes a weapon. Young Black boy, you are sent to schools and churches. You are forced to look up to and learn from someone who has no idea what it's like to be a young Black boy. Your life is turned upside down. You are raised by a single Black mother who can't teach you to be a young Black boy. The world you live in does not want you to win. You have to fight hard to survive. As you grow older, you have a hard time fitting into the world created for you. It's praised for a young Black boy to play with lots of girls, but it is frowned upon for loving one boy. Young Black boy, hold your head high. You are loved. You are wanted. You are needed. You are royal. You are a young Black boy. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing a part of your life with us this evening. We appreciate it immensely. We wish you the best of luck. And I know I speak on behalf of all of my colleagues that if we can assist you in any way as you move forward with your writing, we would love to do so. We hope that you have the opportunity to share your writings with many more people as life progresses. Thank you and your mom both. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now move forward with the agenda for the evening. You have before you an agenda that has been provided ahead of time. During the study session, there were no notes, no changes that were requested. Are there any changes requested at this time? Hearing none, is there a motion that the agenda be approved? Motion by Mr. Clay, is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward to several sets of minutes you have before you. You have before you the minutes of January the 11th, the regular session. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion made by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward with January 25th, regular session minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move forward to January 27th, special session minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to nominate for reappointment to the Park Commission, Carl Hoagland.
There's a motion made, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You'll note that Charlotte Colonna was sworn into the Civil Service Board on January 26th via Zoom. We'll now move forward to citizen participation. We did have some citizen comments tonight, but almost all of them, I think, were directed towards the public hearing. Again, to our citizens, we thank you very much for making the best of this situation. I do want to say yet again, though, that your public comments need to have your name and address on them so that we have that for the record, just as a heads up for everyone. I will now move forward to the public hearing. We have a public hearing on the Market at Olive Redevelopment Project Agreement Map Amendment Request. I will open this public hearing at 6:38 p.m. At this time, I'd also like to acknowledge that we had a number of citizens make comments for this public hearing. All of those comments were provided to council this afternoon by the city clerk and are herein made a part of the record of this public hearing. I believe that Mr. Rose wanted to make a statement as well.
Honorable Mayor, council members, I did want to read into the record a brief statement. There are multiple steps in the process to rezone a parcel of land. One step is the public hearing, which gives all interested parties an opportunity to state his or her position on the matter. The public hearing is not the final step in the process. For this property to be rezoned, the mayor and council must approve an ordinance to rezone the property. I am recommending council not take a final action to rezone any parcel in the RPA 1 area until Novus Development has control of the property.
Thank you very much. The public hearing will now be closed at 6:39 p.m. We have before us a number of items on the consent agenda, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion made by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just wanted to ask the city manager one quick question. It has parking space agreement with Delmar Harvard LLC. Just wanted to ask, if in fact there was no police station in Civic Plaza, would it be necessary to have this agreement with, would it be necessary for the hotel to purchase parking spaces across the street per this agreement?
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smothers, I'm not sure that the having a police station in Civic Plaza impacts the agreement. That has more to do with the use of the property that they actually own. But I'll defer to our city attorney as well as to our director over planning to respond if I'm in error.
No, you're correct, Mr. Rose. The land use itself and per the zoning ordinance, this is being utilized to meet the number of required spaces per the zoning ordinance. So the answer is yes, you would still need to have these parking spaces regardless whether it's there or not.
Right, but if we had open space, if the parking lot around City Hall was open, would that still be required to have the spaces in lot 4? Because they could then have the spaces in the parking lot next to the building.
No, you're correct, but you would still have to follow the same process to meet your required parking, because we're using a parking lot to accommodate the required spaces.
Okay.
Mr. Clay.
Yes. Not necessarily a question about the specific agenda items, but rather a process point. Kaufman, Kingsland, and Moody, the surfacing projects all went to Bollinger, I believe. They were the low bidder. They were separate. They were sent out separate bid packages. My question is, for this group or any other who bids and is doing construction work or any kind of work, I guess, for that matter, I know we don't have hard and fast quotas, if you will, related to diverse participation with the workforce, but I'm thinking, you know, especially projects like these, they're in our parks. So they are in our communities. Folks will be working on it. How are we addressing, or how could we address, the desire to have a diverse representation within the workforce?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, we are currently, I've had discussions with the Finance Director, Keith Cole, about having our purchasing agent work to develop a MWBE, which is just Minority Women Business Enterprise Program. It's within that type of a program that you would establish goals for firms that contract with the city as far as it relates to minority participation. So I know that Mr. Cole is on here. I know that he has a number of projects that he is responsible for in his department, but I did not know if he had any update on the MVWE program, Minority Participation.
Mr. Rose, I do not, but I mean, it's in the works and it's in the process of, it's part of our purchasing policy redo on that manual. And that is part of, it'll be included in that policy.
Okay. Honorable Mayor, thank you, Mr. Call. Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, once that policy is completed, my intention is to bring it forward, at least that section of it, to the mayor and council to get your input and direction.
And when do you think that might be? I know there are many projects on the plate, so.
If, Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, if possible, I'd like, we are coming out of an audit. Actually, it's two audits. One is the internal auditor. So we will have a list of projects from both that audit as well as the audit presentation that you will hear tonight. So we'll need to prioritize those projects that are within that. Once we do, I'll have a better idea of the time frame for getting to this one. So if agreeable to you, we should know within the next 2 weeks what all the projects are and what priority I'm placing on them.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions regarding the consent agenda?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Cusick, sorry.
Mayor Crow. Mr. Rose, I just want to make a comment that I'm happy to see under the Small Business Assistance Program, item I6, that we are including home-based businesses this time. I think that there have been several, I have been contacted by a couple of people that run home-based businesses, and I think they'll be happy to see that in there. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the consent agenda, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose, City Manager's Report.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, the first item up under the City Manager's Report is an item that asks you to hear a presentation from the Metropolitan Sewer District on Proposition Y. Mr. Appleson, would you like to introduce this item?
Yes, sir. This item discusses a wastewater rate proposal by the Metropolitan St. Louis Sewer District. Mr. Brian Holscher, Executive Director of the District, is here with us to summarize and provide more information. Brian, one question that came up in our earlier session was which election you guys were aiming this for. Please, if you can include that in your explanation. And if I may, I'd like to turn it over to Brian for his presentation.
Thank you, Sam. Again, Brian Holscher, Executive Director at MSD. I understand you have a one-page, two-sided document. Everybody has a copy of that document of our rate proposal. So I'm going to go over this quickly. This is our Proposition S. That's it. If you turn on the side, it says proposal objective in green. That's the side I'm going to go for, work from. MSD's Project CLEAR, every 4 years, we come to the ratepayers. We ask them how they would like us to fund the next 4 years of our program. This program is based on an agreement we have with the Department of Justice, the EPA, and the Coalition for the Environment. I won't spend time going over them, but you can see the under proposal objective, just a quick summation of some of the work that's being done, planning to start $1.6 billion worth of additional capital work this year and the next 3 years. The important part is the chart you see down below you, at the middle of the page. Our rate proposal staff puts together a rate proposal every 4 years. It's sent to our 15-person rate commission. They review it, send a recommendation to our board. Our board reviews that recommendation, makes their final decision, and they plan right now on putting this on the April 2021 ballot. If you take a look at the chart on the left-hand side, says with bond financing, if the public votes yes to allow us an additional $500 million worth of bonding capacity, the change in rates for the average residential, the typical residential customer is shown on the left. Right now, the typical customer pays $56.40 per month. That will go up a little over 3% per year through our fiscal year 2024, which ends on June 30th, 2024. It goes from $56.40, and then in fiscal year 2024, it would be $62.59 for the typical residential customer. That would put us just slightly above the median for wastewater rates, wastewater costs for large wastewater municipalities throughout the country. The voters can also decide not to give us an additional $500 million worth of bonding authority. If they don't, you can see the chart on the right. If they vote no, again, our current rate for the typical residential customer is 56, our typical monthly cost for the residential customers, $56.40. If they vote no for the next 3 years, it goes up an average of 15%, resulting in a monthly cost to the typical residential customer of $86.12 per month. And that's obviously significantly higher than the other. This is a proposal we bring in front of the voters every 4 years. This ballot was originally, this was originally supposed to be on the April 2020 ballot. Because of the coronavirus, we delayed it for a year to make sure we could get all our communications completed. I think the last thing I'd like to mention, there is also six or five proposals having to do with our charter. We have to review our charter every 10 years. Goes through the same process with a commission that reviews those proposals. There's five changes on the ballot. My public affairs department's going to be sending the details of those, both the ballot and what the individual ones are. Some of the items on there, mostly they're just modernization of our charter. They increase the compensation for our trustees from $300 a year to $600 per year. That's one of the items. They also make some changes that were requested by the Rate Commission. So that's the presentation.
Are there any questions by members of council to Mr. Helscher?
Yes, sir.
Tim, real quick. Mr. Rose, I presume that the questions are a part of the presentation. Am I correct?
Honorable Mayor, that is correct.
Okay. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Helscher, just a quick question. This rate proposal is just keeping you in line with the original consent decree with the consent decree with the federal government and Coalition for the Environment. Is that correct?
That is correct. There is one piece in here that's not part of that consent decree. It's the replacement of our incinerators that incinerate sludge. at the Bissell and Lime treatment plant. That is required by a separate regulatory requirement having to do with their air permit. The federal government moved that requirement up 4 years. That's the only piece that is not part of that consent decree.
Okay, and then the apparently you have reinitiated the OMCI. I believe it's a tax. And does that have anything to do with this, with the Project CLEAR and with this bond?
Yeah, no. Emmett, quick explanation. MSD's two utilities. One's wastewater, one's stormwater. This is only for wastewater. The stormwater is a separate utility, and I know the city of University City is going through the process of determining what to do with the dollars, and that tax was turned on last year.
Thank you.
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crow, and thank you for presenting this evening. You mentioned that this has come to voters every 4 years. Will it continue going forward? And if so, for how long? How long will you come to the voters on a four-year cycle, it seems?
So the original rate proposal, the original consent decree was a 20-year decree from 2011 to 2034. Because of the change in the incinerator schedule that I mentioned earlier, plus some cost affordability issues, the EPA agreed to extend our consent decree by 5 years. So right now it will end in 2039. Up to that point, we will probably keep coming back to the voting public to decide which one they would prefer to do, whether they'd like to borrow money now to make it cheaper now and have to pay some of that back later, or whether or not they think now is the time to stop borrowing money and just go with a PAYGO, or we'll just use the rates to move forward. Every 4 years, we have to come back with two proposals that are approved by both our rate commission and our board.
And so explain to me the way I'm seeing the two tables laid out. I'm not, just by what the information presented on the table, certainly I think most people would want to go with the bond financing because you're looking at double digit rate increases if you were to pay cash for it, if you will. So how does this impact things on the back end? Because clearly it's much cheaper now, but we, you know, if things look great now, there's typically something comes due later.
Sure.
Can you explain exactly what comes due later?
So these two lines cross. If we took bonding for the balance of the program through 2039, or if we just took cash financing, those two lines cross somewhere in the mid-2030s, where it'd be cheaper to do that's kind of where the payoff is. So it's sometime after somewhere in the mid-2030s, just as a modeling, where the line would cross and it would be cheaper to actually go just with cash than it would be with bond financing. Our loans are anywhere between 20 and 30 years, 20 years for state SRF, up to 30 years when we go out on the private market. We have projections of what rates would be under the two scenarios going out to around 2040. Under the current rate structure that we're at, overall, the total cost is about two times more because of the debt service than it would be if you PAYGO, but it does make things more affordable and kind of flattens out the rates for everybody in the future. We have some of that additional information available if you'd like it.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm assuming City Manager Rose and Director Alpesson, could you get, I don't want to speak for my colleagues, I'd like to see that because I'd like to understand, because to your point, some of it is, you hit a point where it's six in one hand, half dozen the other. I mean, you're gonna get it coming or get it going. So I'd just like to see the numbers. So I guess City Manager Rose, you would work with whomever.
So, Mr. Rose, if you don't mind, we'll send that information to you as well with some other information.
Yeah, that works.
Councilman Clay, the only other thing I would mention is that if you're familiar with the interest rates as they are right now,
right,
we get loans from the state through state SRF funds, and we pay about 0.75% interest for borrowing money. Last time we went out to the open market, which was in December, We maintain a AAA bond rating. We're able, for $120 million bond sale, we're able to get it at 2.75%. So money is pretty cheap right now as compared to what it might have been otherwise. And I think the information we show will kind of give you a feel for what that looks like.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, Council Members, this next item asks that you hear a presentation on the findings from the fiscal year 2020 audit. I would ask our Finance Director, Mr. Cole, if you would present the presenters.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Rose, Honorable Mayor and members of Council. As you know, every year it's required that we have an annual audit. And this past fiscal year, it was Hochschild Bloom and Company, and we have Mike Williams from Hochschild Bloom to come and present the findings of the FY20 annual audit. Mike?
Okay, yeah, thanks, Keith. So what I have is three reports. It looks something like this. The firm's issued related to the year-end audit. It's the city has a June 30, 2020 year-end audit. And it won't take too long, but what I thought I would do is just flip through the various pages. Now, what I was going to try to do is share my screen here and start going through the first report, which is the comprehensive annual financial report. That's the main audit. Let's see. So do you see that?
Yep. Yes, we can.
All right. So I'll just start at the first page. So this is the front of the report. It's a comprehensive annual financial report. And past the table of contents, the first section is the introductory section. And with that is a transmittal letter on the City of University City letterhead. It's got a lot of good information in there about the economic condition and outlook, other financial information about the city. There's a list of principal officials, an org chart. And I did want to mention this Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. It's, I think, good documentation that the city's gone through the steps it needs to take to be awarded this certificate from the GFOA, the Government Finance Officers Association. It's a national association that reviews these audit reports and determines if it's eligible for this certificate. So anyway, I think that's good that the city gets this in order to document its accountability, full disclosure, transparency, things like that. So congratulations to the city on that. The next section is the financial section, and the first part of that is the independent auditor's report, and this is on the Hochschild Bloom & Company letterhead. This first page one talks about what we've audited. There's some information about management's responsibility and about the auditor's responsibility. On page two, the opinion section is the important part in an audit. It says that, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects. So those are the magic words you're looking for in an audit, that there's no qualifications or modifications, and it's also commonly called an unqualified opinion or clean opinion. So that's good. And it's similar to what the city's had before, but I think that's important. Okay, after that then, we get into the management's discussion and analysis. And I was going to talk about this page. This is a good summary on the bottom of page six. It's all of the funds blended together on a full accrual basis with all the financial statements, also financial amounts listed for the governmental activities, business type activities, a total. And then there's a change, a 2020 change, the difference between the 2019 totals and the 2020 totals. So overall, you can see the total assets for the governmental activities around 74 million. The business type activities are around 4.9 million. And then the total assets then around 79 million, 486. There's some deferred outflows, some liabilities of around total liabilities around 26 million, deferred inflows. And then the difference between all the assets and liabilities and deferred amounts is the net position. And the net position is supposed to be the net financial position of the city. So overall, you can look at that and see what the bottom line is, if there's an increase or decrease compared to the prior year. So this does show some small decrease, a 2.4% decrease from the prior year. But a lot of that does have to do with the pension actuarial amounts. We'll get into that a little bit more later on. So without that, the city was overall relatively flat on its net financial position change for the year. But there was about a $1.5 million decrease in the overall net position due to pensions. So this is the balance sheet. That's the assets and liabilities. A couple pages after that, then we get into the revenues and expenses. So again, this is all the funds blended together. The top part of the page shows the revenues. The middle part of the page is the expenses, and it reconciles then to the net position at the bottom of the page. So on the right side of the page, you can see the total and the changes. There's changes in charges for services, and there's other information on here about that, but that was due to COVID and the shutdown of the rec centers. Taxes are also down. And capital grants fluctuate quite a bit based on the amount of grants. Grants go up one year, down the next year quite a bit. So those change a lot. We can see the differences in the expenses throughout the year. And then again, it reconciles to the net position at the bottom of the page. So again, that's the big picture perspective of the fund, of all the funds blended together. The next thing I was going to do is actually go try to find the individual funds. And so that's this page. So this is page 16. It shows the top part of the page has assets listed. And then there's liabilities listed, some deferred amounts, and fund balances. So this has the information for the larger funds of the city, the general fund, public safety, park and stormwater, capital improvements. Those are the larger funds or the major funds for the year. And just to show that, just to talk about the general fund, since it's the main operating fund of the city, has total cash and investments of around $8,781,000, various receivables, other assets total about $20,595,000. And liabilities are things that the city owes, like accounts payable or deposits, things like that. So those are liabilities of about $2.6 million. And there's deferred amounts. And then again, the difference between the assets, liabilities, and deferred is fund balance. So this shows total fund balance for the general fund of around $16,785,000. However, some of that fund balance is non-spendable because it's a long-term advance to other funds. There's assets held for resale. There's assigned for purchases on order. There's subsequent year's budget. And then, therefore, the unassigned fund balance, which is also an important number, is around $10,172,000. So that's the balance sheet for the governmental funds. You can see the other amounts for the other larger funds on this page. A couple pages after that, then, there's a statement of the revenues and expenditures for the governmental funds also. So again, just to talk about the general fund, it's the main operating fund of the city, has about $23,016,000 of revenues, $25,170,000 of expenses, some other financing sources and uses. But overall, there was a decrease of about $1.3 million for the year of fund balance for the general fund. But then overall, the total governmental funds show just a decrease of about $897,000. So there were some increases, some decreases throughout the year. All right. A couple pages after that, then, I wanted to point this out on the business type activities, because there's governmental activities which are primarily funded with taxes and grants. And then there's business type activities which are funded by user fees, like the parking garage, golf course, and solid waste. So one of the differences this year, which I'll point out on the next page, but the solid waste fund down near the bottom shows that it has a negative total net position. So net position is like retained earnings in a regular company. It's like fund balance, but it's called net position in this case, since it's a business type activity. But the solid waste does have $1.5 million in the bank, like golf has $550,000, parking garage has $470,000. And then there's other assets, receivables, and non-current assets are the capital assets. That's building equipment, things like that. Those are capital assets. There's deferred amounts and liabilities, but kind of near the bottom, there's a $1,057,000 worth of net pension liability for in, included in the solid waste fund. So, so a significant amount of this negative net position is a solid waste fund. So going to the next page then, this page has a summary of the revenues and expenses for the business type activities. And again, you can see the activity on here, parking garage, golf fund, but the bottom line on the solid waste, I'm just pointing this out that that turned negative this year, but that was due to multiple factors, one of those being the pension. There's a cash flow statement. After that, then there's a pension trust fund. Now these are blended together for the pension trust fund, but overall you can see that there's still positive net position in the pensions, but there was a decrease for the year of about $1.7 million. Some of that having to do with the depreciation of the value of the investments. Okay, so that's the financial statements. Then on page 26 begins the notes to the financial statements. And note A is summary of significant accounting policies. Those don't change much from year to year. Note B, the detailed notes begin on the bottom of page 35. There's information on cash and investments. Page 36 has the more details on the cash and investments. The governmental activities are shown at the top of the page. I don't see anything too different there. The fiduciary funds, those are the pension funds. So this has a summary of those investments as of June 30th. Let's see, then capital assets. I'll start on page 39. And capital assets are important just because they're significant costs to the city. They're a significant investment when you buy buildings, equipment, and infrastructure of the city. So the cost of the of those assets is recorded on here. Then the bottom part of that schedule on the top of page 39 says accumulated depreciation. And that's because once you buy an asset, it starts to depreciate over time. And so this captures the cost of the assets and the depreciation. Well, let's see, the next page then, page 40, is the business type activities, capital assets, and the library capital assets. After that, on page 42, the long-term debt disclosure, I think is important. This shows that the city paid off significant amounts of its long-term liabilities, like its mortgages. The special obligation bonds have decreased or have been paid off. The certificates of participation are down. And the two long-term items on here are the capital leases and the compensated absences. Okay, so that's the long-term debt. Page 43 then begins the pension plan disclosure. Page 44 gets into the non-uniform pension plan, and there's several pages related to the terms of the plan. But on page 46, I wanted to point out that this is the summary of the net pension liability. So this net pension liability amount shows the schedule in the middle of page 46. There's a column for net pension liability, plan fiduciary net position, and net pension liability. So the net pension liability shows that it was about $6,057,000 at the beginning of the year. And that net liability increased to about $8 million for the year. And those amounts are recorded on this schedule. So some increase in the actuarial valuation of the net pension liability. So that's the non-uniform plan. There's other information in here about the outflows and inflows that are amortized over future periods. And then page 48 gets into the police and fire retirement plan. So again, there's a couple of pages of general information about that. And then on page 50, it shows the net pension liability also on here. There's got the liability, the plan fiduciary net position, and then there's a net pension liability. So the difference between those two started out the beginning of the year is about $10 million and ended up the liability, the net pension liability at the end of the year, about $12 million. So that increased also. Again, it has deferred or some amounts for outflows and inflows. And the condensed financial statements of fiduciary activity begin on page 52 and 53. 53 has the activity for the year, the additions, which are like revenues at the top of the page, of the deductions, which are payments of benefits and other costs, and then it reconciles to the net position, which agrees it's primarily the investments held by the plans. Okay, so that's the pension plans. After that, note F is the post-employment benefit other than pensions. So this is sometimes called OPEB for us accountants that shorten that. It's the other post-employment benefits. So the city has one of those. I wasn't going to talk about that a lot. It didn't change too much from the previous year. Page 57, we get into the inter-fund receivables and payables and transfers. Page 58, as risk management is insurance, and there's operating leases, commitments, contingencies. Information on page 59 about the similar to last year, the restricted net position, the negative net position is new related to the solid waste deficit. There's conduit debt, tax abatement disclosures, and then, well, this is new too, the note O, economic development loans. I see that's on your agenda tonight. So this is that activity disclosed. There's some restatements and then future accounting pronouncements. So that is the financial statements and the notes to the financial statements. I won't talk about a whole lot more in this report, but I did want to mention on page 63, this is the beginning of the supplemental information, which has a lot of information related to the budget amounts also in a lot more detail. So this has the original budget, the final budget, the actual revenues and expenses for the year, and then the difference between the actual revenues, expenses, and the final budget is that over under budget column. So due to COVID and other issues, there was a lot of fluctuations in the budget amounts. Overall, to top of page 64, there's a total revenues, and it does show that the total revenues were under budget by 1.7 million in the general fund. And then the expenses start for the next several pages. There's details of those. And they go through page 67, and near the top of page 67, it shows that the total expenses are under budget by about $152,000. And then there's other financing sources and uses also, and then the reconciliation to the fund balance. So that type of information is included in the rest of the report, other budget to actual information, multi-year information related to the pensions. The smaller funds begin on page 78. And then there's a lot of statistical information in the back, about 10 years of information. Okay, so let's see here. the other thing, a couple more things I was going to review real quickly, these other two smaller reports. This first one is our report on federal wards, because the city received enough money for a single audit of its federal programs. So this page, page six, shows the summary of the federal programs received for the year ended June 30th. And at the bottom of the page, it shows about $1,850,000 for the year of total federal program grant revenues. So we have that. There was one comment related to this report. It was similar to last year about the adjusting entries that we came up with during the audit. We're required to disclose those in this report. So that's our comment with that. And then the final report I was going to go over is sometimes we call it our management letter. It's also on the Hochschild Bloom & Company letterhead. There's several pages of general information about the audit, a couple of pages of journal entries, of adjustments that the auditors came up with. And I won't have to go through all of these, but we did come up with these other comments or recommendations. There are a total of 14 comments and recommendations that we had for this fiscal year. So these are comments are not significant deficiencies. They're not material weaknesses. They're just other comments that we have related to the findings for the year. And last year we did have, I checked last year's, we had 22 items last year and we only have 14 this year. So 8 of those were resolved from the previous year. And also we would list on here if we had any new comments and we had no new comments this year compared to the previous year. So that's good. But I'll be happy to review any of these in particular or talk about any of the other reports that we have. But that was what I had to talk about tonight. Is there any other questions?
Are there Mike, thank you very much for a very comprehensive report in a pretty short amount of time for the territory that you covered. This is not your first rodeo.
The first report's 107 pages long. So yeah, we did go through it pretty quick, and I know it's a lot to go over, but if you do get into it, you have questions, we're here for any questions that you might have, or if you're running past Keith, you might know the answer, but we're available also.
Are there questions that members of council have of Mike or Keith at this time through the city manager? I only have a couple, and mine may be comments, and frankly, Mr. McMahon may be able to help me a little bit, but I'm assuming that when we talked about the solid waste fund and the deficit, and you talked about the pension liability, I'm assuming that is just an allocation of that percentage of pension costs to the employees who are within the public works department that deal with solid waste. Is there a logical connection there?
Yeah, it's allocated based on the employee, right? So, okay.
And then if that logic plays through, if you will, the liability and pension fund and it may not be this way, but for some reason, I remember that there was an actuarial change that was made globally, not just to us, but to all pension funds regarding age and life expectancy. And is that a large part of this driver for our increase in our deficit in the pension funds, or is there another driver?
Honorable Mayor, I would just point out, I think that the way that the actuary, the timing for the actuarial study to be performed did not pick up all of the contributions that the city made to the pension fund. So that will be picked up as a part of the actuarial study that will be conducted in May of this year. If you recall, I had committed to trying to keep both pension funds around 80% funded. So the contributions for this fiscal year as well as next fiscal year will reflect that commitment.
Okay.
Yeah, there are multiple year schedules related to that. There's a lot of schedules in the notes, but then there's also additional information in the required supplemental information. So I guess I would point you to the changes, there's various footnotes related to the changes in the liability in the report. I wouldn't say it's just that change. There's multiple reasons for the changes in the total liability.
Okay. I just think that we've always had this, pension funds have kind of ebbed and flowed over the years, and I think we all know that that is something that is hanging out there. I just think when the deficit increases, we just need to all probably just pay greater attention to it. So,
right. Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else from anyone else? Hearing nothing, thank you very much, Mike, for joining us. And Mr. Rose, we'll move on to the next item.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor and Council Members, the final item under the City Manager's Report is ask that you consider a conditional use permit to accept and approve shared parking exceptions for the proposed True Hotel development. I believe we have our Planning Director with us, Mr. Cross. Would you like to present this item?
Yes, I'll be brief tonight. I think you're pretty familiar with what this is in reference to, as this is associated with the True Hotel. As you all know, the True Hotel came before you for a map amendment to a PDC zoning district and then preliminary plan approval for its mixed use concept that consisted of a hotel and an office complex. If you recall, as part of that process and that review, there was a condition that came from the Planning Commission and ultimately was approved by the City Council that they had to meet their parking requirements, which was determined to be 96 spaces through the utilization of industry standards and shared parking ratios. And you saw the agreement that came before you tonight. So you, in a sense, you've already approved that portion of it. The purpose of this and bringing it before you is just to make sure we're consistent with the zoning code, and specifically 42130 subsection D of the zoning code, which is our associated with our off-street parking requirements. And that section specifically allows for an exception of reduced parking through the shared parking process. So to be consistent with the intent of our ordinance and the requirements of our code, we have taken this before the plan commission. They recommended approval of the conditional use permit for these 17 spaces over on parking lot 4 at their January 27th, 2021 plan commission. So therefore we're bringing it to you tonight to just to follow suit to get your approval of the conditional use permit for the shared parking associated with the True Hotel development. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have in reference to this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cross. First, before we have any questions, is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Cusick. Is there seconded? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Are there questions or comments for Mr. Rose or Mr. Cross? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to unfinished business bill number 9423. May we please have the second reading?
An ordinance amending chapter 210, article 1 of the University City, Missouri Code, Municipal Code, I'm sorry, relating to animals generally, by enacting therein a new section to be known as section 210.130, Community Cats, Management of Cat Population Permitted Acts.
Thank you. May we have the third reading?
An ordinance amending chapter 210, article 1 of the University City Municipal Code relating to animals generally, by enacting therein a new section to be known as section 210.130, Community Cats, Management of Cat Population Permitted Acts.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion? I know we have a comment to maybe let's real quick. Is there a motion to approve? By Mr. Cusick, is there a second? By Mr. Clay. Mr. Rose, I believe you would like to have a comment and make an amendment. Am I correct? You are muted, sir.
Family got me. Honorable Mayor and Council Members, I would like to propose an amendment to this ordinance to read as follows. Section 210.130.B.5 to read as follows. Trap, neuter, return shall be the preferred disposition of impounded community cats, period. Animal control officers and local animal shelters are authorized and encouraged to conduct trap, neuter, return, or to direct impound community cats to a trap, neuter, return program, additional unless the cat is adopted, period.
Thank you very much. Just so all the citizens watching, we have had some discussion back and forth with members of the public that the ordinance did not have an adoption clause in it for cats to be adopted. And so the only change to this particular ordinance is the last phrase, unless the cat is adopted. And so we thought this would address and assuage the concerns that had been expressed to city staff and to members of council. With Mr. Rose's suggestion, is there a motion to amend as written by, as stated by Mr. Rose? I believe a motion made by Mr. Cusick and seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion about, Ms. Reese, you had a question?
No, I was just, so is there a motion to amend?
Motion to amend.
Is that the same people?
Am I correct, Mr. Mulligan? I think you're nodding your head. A motion to amend made by Mr. Cusick and then seconded by Mr. Clay. So our first, if there's discussion on the amendment to add the phrase, unless the cat is adopted, we can have discussion about that now. my guess is there's probably not a lot of discussion about it, but there could be. You never know. Seeing no hands, would you please call the roll on the amendment?
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much. We now have before us the ordinance and the ordinance as amended. Is there any discussion on the ordinance as amended? Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. So supportive of the ordinance as amended. My question is, in 2 years, if we were to get a question, someone was to approach Councilman McMahon and say, Councilman McMahon, has TNR been effective? What's the metric any of us would use to answer that question? I'm just curious.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, we haven't established performance measurements to determine the effectiveness of the TNR program. So there's nothing quantitative that we would provide at this point. But typically, one way of determining its effectiveness is the number of community cats that you end up having. We could certainly count the number that we currently have and bring information back to you. But I think we would look to our code enforcement officers in 2 years to tell us, is the program effective? Do they still see the number of wildcats running around? Do we need to tweak the ordinance, or is it doing what it should, which is to reduce the population?
Well, in a secondary question is, I'll just be very honest, I would not want our staff involved in that. I think they have probably other more pressing issues to deal with, but is that something TNR can help with? Just because they are a nonprofit in and of themselves, mm-hmm. if I understand it correctly. So I'm assuming just by virtue of the fact they are an organization, they would have some metrics by which they measure effectiveness of what they're doing, I'm assuming. I have to admit, I don't know a whole lot about them, but can we just leverage kind of what they do? And I don't know if the question will ever come up, but you know, we are putting some energy into this. So I'd just like to be able to at least have a line of sight as to maybe how we might answer that.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, we could certainly reach out to stakeholders in the TNR kind of organization to identify what type of metrics do they have to determine the effectiveness of the program and respond back to you.
I believe Ms. Klein has a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the general studies that have been done with TNR programs. And basically what they say is that if you have a good volunteer program where the volunteers are active and doing what they need to control the population, that it's more cost effective than any other method. So, you know, you may have some other method that, you know, they can use to control cat population, but it's a lot more expensive. So that's something to consider too.
Okay, I believe we have a roll call vote ahead of us. Am I correct, Ms. Reese? Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, would you please call the roll on the ordinance as amended?
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you very much. The ordinance has passed. We will now move to bill number 9424. May we have the second reading?
An ordinance fixing the compensation to be paid to city officials and employees as enumerated herein from and after its passage and repealing ordinance number 7129.
May we have the third reading?
An ordinance fixing the compensation to be paid to city officials and employees as enumerated herein from and after its passage and repealing ordinance number 7129.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Hello? Motion made by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Thank you very much. There was a little delay there, folks. Sorry to the people watching. I'm not making light. It was just as you watched the screen go. Is there any discussion on this matter? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Crowe.
Aye. Thank you very much. We'll now move to new business. Bill number 9425. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Hales, may we have the first reading, Ms. Reese?
An ordinance approving a final plat for a major subdivision of a tract of land to be known as Crown Center Subdivision of Dalecrest and located at 8348-8350 Dalecrest Drive.
Thank you very much. That concludes the new business for the evening. We'll now move forward to council reports and business. Are there any reports that council members would like to share this evening? Hearing none, can we move to was that a reporter comment or is that a council comment? Mr. Clay.
A procedural question for you, Mayor. I wanted to follow up with the public hearing, a couple of questions for the city manager. Is that more appropriate under item M number 4, other discussions in business, or under council comments?
Well, we've always tried for questions to the city manager. If you're expecting there to be a response tonight, that they not be questions made during council comments. If you're asking the city manager to make a reply tonight, I would rather you do it during other reports in business, but also always want to give the city manager the opportunity to have some time before he replies, if such is the case. So you're welcome. I would do it between the two choices you gave me. I would much have it prefer it under the other discussions in business.
Okay, I'll wait for that time then.
Well, we're there. I think we're there.
Very good. So, City Manager Rose, just wanted to follow up with a couple of questions on the public hearing that we had for the redevelopment and the zoning. So am I correct that this is a continuation of the ordinance, I believe it's 9421, that was introduced on January 11th?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, typically we marry up both the public hearing as well as with the ordinance. Because I'm recommending that the council not take any action, that would actually be the final step in the rezoning process. That's why you have the public hearing tonight, but without the ordinance being presented this one. So yes, that's correct.
And typically what we do is, we would have the first reading of an ordinance. In this case, because it involves zoning, there's a public hearing. And then the next meeting, we would have the second and third reading. So essentially, there's a two-meeting process for approval. We've operated differently because, again, your conclusion is we shouldn't act on this until such time that the developer has the site under control. Is that correct?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clyde, that is correct.
So if I'm on Richard, I own a house on Richard. Today is Monday, February 8th. I wake up tomorrow. What has changed as a result of the public hearing that took place tonight? Will anything be different for me tomorrow morning?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, there's no change that would impact any of the residents within the residents or businesses within the RPA 1 based upon the public hearing tonight.
So this will not, and again, our typical process is we'd have the public hearing and then subsequent meeting typically the next meeting, we would move to approval. We are delaying that process until such time that the developer has site control. So nothing is changing as of this moment, correct?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clegg, that is correct.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Just real quickly to everyone, I've noticed on my computer, I'm getting some instability issues. So if I drop off at all as we move forward, I'm sure that the Mayor Pro Tem will jump in. Are you able to hear me right now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Any other comments or questions under council reports and business? If not, we will move into council comments. Are there any council comments this evening?
Yes, sir.
Hearing none.
Yes, sir, Mayor Crow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Cusick.
Yes. Councilmember Klein and I would like to announce that we are going to be holding a Zoom meeting to take place on Wednesday, February the 17th at 6:30 p.m. And that is to discuss in light of the presentation that Mr. Rose gave us this evening on our bond project presentation and the annex and what to do with the police. Councilmember Klein and I are going to proceed with the Zoom meeting. We will be sending out invitations to those people that are already on our mailing lists. If there are others that would like in the second ward that would like to attend this meeting, if they would get a hold of us, and they can do so through the email addresses that are posted on the city's website, we would be happy to include them. And we are going to ask residents of the second ward that respond to RSVP so that if we do get an overwhelming response to this, then we would possibly have a second meeting. And in this meeting, we would like to present findings that we were given this evening, as well as just find out from our residents in the second ward what they think about this and if they have any options or want to bring any other opinions to the table. And I will ask Ms. Klein if she wants to say anything about this also.
I think you covered it all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Mr. Clay.
Not to be outdone, Councilman Smotherson and I will see your second ward meeting on the 17th and raise you one, a third ward meeting this February 11th, this Thursday. We've set out an agenda. We put an announcement on Nextdoor. Folks will be able to participate. They can ask questions live via audio. There will be no video for participants, only for Councilman Smotherson and I, or they can submit them in the chat, or they can submit them prior to either one of our emails. So there are three ways you can engage via questions. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Unless Steve and Jeff want to join in on anything else, as far as first ward, I'm just kidding. I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of actions, litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential or privileged communications between that governmental body or its representatives or attorneys. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Clay. Any discussion? Hearing none, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Excuse me, aye.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. The ayes have it. Is everybody okay with a 5-minute break and then we'll get together? To the members of the public, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We appreciate you taking the time out of your evening. Have a nice evening.